The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Glamour Thursdays happen.
Yeah. Which is on ice.
Again?
We'll push it to tomorrow because it's supposed to rain.
Oh, you're talking about being under the weather.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he didn't get... Yes.
I thought you got him in trouble.
I thought he grounded his neighbor again.
No.
Your meatloaf is mushy, your salmon croquettes are oily, and your eggplant parmesan is a disgrace to this house!
Well, that's too bad, because I'm the only one who cooks around here.
Not anymore!
Although there is a possibility it was the corn that got me sick.
So I had the corn, but I did not get sick. My wife did not get. We had somebody over that ate it. He is not sick.
Okay.
You still need a cook?
Oh yeah, come on, Frank.
You got tefal? No, follow me.
Because honestly, who is going to Visine you other than your wife? Do you think she's doing it to entertain herself sometimes?
Well, I got Visined, I know, by a restaurant here.
What?
Yes, totally.
You know, Frank, you could take a break.
No breaks. I feel reborn. I'm like a phoenix rising from Arizona.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running around, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited.
Strap in and enjoy the effing ride. The advice one Mark Chamora gave me this morning. As I arrived at the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue here in downtown Milwaukee. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy of Alex Strofe in this morning alongside Mark Chamora and Josh DiMaggio.
My wife just called me a whiny Beloche.
Beloche.
Yeah. You can't. You can say that word on the air, but it's got to be in the
context. I know what you mean, yeah.
You can only say it about complaining.
Well, Beloche is fine, isn't it?
I think everyone knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, we got you, too.
Okay.
How you feeling?
I'm here. I'm good. I'm a puss. Can you say, I'm sorry?
I don't think you can do that one. No, can't do that one. All right.
You're soft?
I don't do well sick.
So did you get
But when the lights come on, I kind of turn it on.
Yeah, well, you were making a lot of weird noises as the intro was being played there.
That is not it.
That's what I heard for the last 90 seconds.
I'm a little verklempt.
Yeah, that's fair. Did you make it to Glamour Thursday?
It was truncated.
Truncated.
Yeah, so it was one and done. It happened. He brought corn. I can't eat it.
Because you can't. You still think that's what made you sick?
Could be.
I ate it last night. Had it in as part of one of the dishes I had. It did not go corn on the cob style, but used it in dinner.
And how you feeling?
Great.
Okay. What are the most amount of corn on the cobs you ate? That didn't come out right, but just you know where I was
going. What's the question here?
How many pieces of corn? What is the most you've ever eaten in your life? My father ate 22 one time,
okay.
And I watched him.
22 ears of
22
corn?
22 ears of corn.
That's irresponsible.
And went right. I think he slept in the bathroom.
I was going to say that had to be one of the more shocking reveals once he got up and looked down.
Yeah.
What was the point? Was he trying to prove
he just
point?
Loves corn? I love corn. I mean, it's not a big deal for me to eat eight
real cobs. Or are
yeah.
we talking like mini cobs that come frozen?
No.
We're talking real ears
of corn.
Eight of them.
Oh sure.
How many ears of corn are you guys making at a time? Because to facilitate 22 ears of corn, you got to be at 30 plus for the gathering.
Sure. I mean, with six kids, too.
Yeah.
You know?
You're making 45 ears of corn.
He'd eat corn as a meal.
He did.
Which corn has no nutritional value, correct?
I mean, I don't believe so.
I would bet it has some sort of like vitamin.
Sugar, maybe.
Mean, the real question is he butter? Is he slabbing butter on there? Is he salting
butter,
his puppy
salt.
Up?
Oh, he used to salt his beer.
Oh, so his cholesterol is through the roof.
Wow,
after 22
blood
of those
pressure.
Things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he should have done what I do. Lowry's, right, Joshy?
Yeah, the seasoned salt.
Seasoned salt, not the same as salt.
It's a little better. Probably not much.
That's not true.
What? Well, in terms of health. Are we talking from a dietary standpoint? Yes. It's a little better.
That's what,
isn't it?
Well, I would argue from a taste standpoint, it's a little better. But from a, I don't know, it's still salt.
I kind of graduated from it. I used to.
The hell does that mean?
Well, everyone puts it on their steak and stuff.
Sure.
There's better stuff than Lowry's for your steak.
People are putting Lowry's on their
elaborate.
Steak.
I get this really good mix. It's
I
a,
just didn't know that.
It's a prime rib mix. So it's a shaker thing strictly for prime rib, but I would rather have it on a New York strip or a ribeye. I'm a heavy seasoned. You know?
Yeah.
The salt and pepper just doesn't do it for me. Are you guys with me or no?
I'm with you on that. Yeah.
You got to
go above and beyond.
I like salt and pepper.
So what were you mixing up last night, Joshy?
Just made a pasta dish that had some corn, some spinach, little
corn
white sauce.
In pasta? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, very good.
Wait, the corn was in the pasta?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I've never heard of corn in pasta.
It's just a vegetable.
I've heard of peas.
Sure.
Peas.
You ever have like lo mein?
I've had lo mein, but there's no corn in that.
Is there not?
If there is, there's the baby corn.
Oh, the baby corn?
Sure.
Yeah. No, he's talking about corn, blammer corn.
Well, I understand
corn.
That. Blammer corn.
Blammer corn. It's different than normal corn.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Was it a red sauce or a cream sauce?
Not
cream
chewy sauce.
I could live with that.
Yeah, red sauce, I don't think that'd fit at all.
No.
I did look up the dietary benefits of corn.
Learning really crucial information here on this Friday morning. Go ahead, Josh.
It consists of insoluble fiber, which makes it have a low glycemic index, so low in sugar. And doesn't cause unhealthy spikes. It also contains many B vitamins as well as essential minerals like zinc, magnesium, copper, iron, and manganese.
So the way you're explaining it is that seasoned salt is good for you.
No, that's corn.
Oh, corn is good for you. Well, yeah, it's a vegetable.
Why can't our bodies digest corn?
Wait, are you saying so when you take a two, it comes out?
Sure. There's nothing else, really. Maybe an occasional pee will get past the goalie, but, I mean, corn...
It's a good point. It's a really good question.
So the corn is digestible, the insides of it. The undigestible part is the outside of the kernel. So,
really? Oh, wow.
Yes.
Why?
So the casing of each kernel.
So it's not in the system long enough to break it down?
Well, because of the insoluble fiber that I discussed earlier.
Because cows break it down. No, they do.
Right, but... they have multiple stomachs.
And Lance is probably going to call and say, you're wrong, this and that.
Lance Romance?
Yeah, he's still on my list.
For what?
Because
they do.
Farmers would leave one oak tree. When you see a farm field and there's one oak tree in the middle of the field, that is left there so the farmers could eat in the shade. And he totally disagrees with me. And so is his dad. So they're wrong. They're just wrong. Have you ever seen an oak tree in the middle of a cornfield?
Chewy, I got
to
be honest.
Why do you think that's there? Why wouldn't the farmer cut it down to have more space for corn? Am I right or wrong? Does this make sense to you? They leave it there so they can eat in the shade after spending 8 hours in that field.
The way you have processed it in your brain, yes, it does make sense to me. Have I ever been driving down a county road, and we were just talking off the air. I went to school in a farm town. I went to school in Denmark, Wisconsin, just south of Green Bay.
I've been to Denmark.
Lot of cornfields.
Yes.
I cannot say I have ever looked this hard in a cornfield searching for one singular oak tree.
This is how my brain works. You know what you're going to do probably on the way next time you go to Green Bay?
You're damn right. I'll be there tomorrow.
You'll be looking for an oak tree.
Yeah. I'll be looking for an oak tree in a cornfield.
Now, they're not in every field.
But some.
Absolutely.
So you think that farmers have designated cornfields?
I know.
Okay. No,
I grew up on a farm.
I understand this, but this is your farm. You just said, you know, one guy is calling you and telling you you're wrong. So that means this is not how every farm operates. This is how your farm operates.
Well, I didn't like how strong they took it to the hoop because they wouldn't budge.
But you're not budging either.
Well, because I know I'm never wrong.
Well, you and I both know that's not true.
Yeah. Well, Josh?
He's on the phone. Give him a second. And he'll agree with me.
Oh, boy. Here come the farmers.
Yeah, no doubt. It's 7:09 a.m. You already pissed off the backbone of Wisconsin. Thanks, Chew.
Well, we have dairy. You know, Wisconsin isn't the only place that has dairy farms. Vermont, which I grew up 20 minutes from.
What is, just so I'm clear, what was Lance's argument on why they exist? Is it something for, like,
I don't know.
Soil?
He was just so obstinate about it, him and his dad. Look, I worked on a farm. I didn't own one. I'm sorry.
All right, let's go to Burlington.
Oh, boy.
800-990-3776. Your way into Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Strofe and Chewy hanging out with you this morning. Joshy DiMaggio running the show with us as well. 800-990-3776. Dusty in Burlington, you're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Give us the info on the trees, brother.
100% Chewy is right.
Thank you. Chewy was right. Love it. Take that, Lance.
As I've been buying the farms from my dad, he is our biggest fight is I want to cut down these trees because I don't need these trees anymore to sleep under during the middle nap hour. But one, two generations ago, that's why the trees were in the middle of the field. So when the farmer didn't have to come home and eat his lunch and take a nap.
Yes. Thank you very much.
100%.
That's good enough. You should see the smile on Chewy's face right now.
That's all I need. That's all I needed. Even if 200 people called and said you're completely wrong, I got one ally.
Dusty's got you.
Yes.
I mean, it makes sense. I do think, so I looked it up because I do everything you say just to give myself a check. Shade is the number one listed thing as why farmers leave trees in fields, but it does provide crop protection and soil health. So there, I think it's one of those mutual beneficial things where, you know, It the real reason's the shade, but you can also argue, well, it's good for the crops.
Joshy, can we remember when Gabe gets back here to add that to the arrogance?
What is it? Farm field arrogance?
Yes. Farm field arrogance. That's another one. Because that's Lance and his dad. Just farmer arrogance from out by Madison.
I imagine the farm equipment you were using, Chew.
Yes.
Did not have air conditioning.
No, back in the day. I mean,
was it even
covered? Did you grow up on a farm?
No.
He's only 25.
Yeah, he's a young one.
Does it look like I grew up on a farm? I'm 6'3", 170. Not throwing hay bales around.
No.
Not picking rocks.
What was I going to talk about? I forgot. I lost my train of thought.
Not the first nor last time that will happen this morning. Yeah.
It was a good point, too. It'll come back.
Oh, I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will. 800-990-3776.
No. The Farmel, the old tractor's offset. That's how I learned how to drive. Because when I worked tobacco in the fields, right, the young kids really couldn't be laborers at the time with field tobacco, so they'd stick them on the tractor as they loaded it up with tobacco. So I learned how to actually drive at 8 years old. I was on a tractor at 8 years old. It's pretty impressive, right?
I would say
I could drive stick. Wow. I could drive stick at 11. Yeah.
When's the last time you drove stick?
Oh, boy. Well, now they have like fake stick where there's no clutch.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest thing ever.
Slap stick.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Like you can shift, but there's no clutch. That's for you guys. That's for the millennials.
We just have a text.
Have you ever driven stick?
No. God, no.
Would you know how to drive stick?
No.
I took my driving test on stick.
I didn't. I took my driving test in a 2007 Saturn Ion.
It's a good car.
It lasted me 270,000 miles before it.
It's almost as good as the Chevy Vega that I did it on.
Yeah, fair. Didn't those have the Saturn Ion have undentable side panels?
That is correct. You could throw a bowling ball at them. Yeah, you and I discussed wanting to do that.
I've done it.
Yeah, that's right. You told me about that. Uh-huh. Yeah, and then now I drive a Ford Focus, so I'm as Gen Z as it gets.
I don't even know if you can get a standard anymore.
What is this text from Dustin? It just says Strofe is wrong. I haven't said anything. What the hell am I wrong about?
You're disagreeing with me.
I didn't disagree with you.
You didn't agree with me.
Not blatantly.
You have to learn.
I wanted to learn from the experts, Chew.
You have to learn. You have to vehemently agree with Chewy or you're against him.
Yeah, you're right. That's why Joshy stood mute.
You can't be lukewarm.
Well, it's going to be a long 2 hours if that's the case. It'll be a long 2 hours. Well, the advice Chew gave me about a half an hour ago. Strap in and enjoy the effing ride. I'm strapped in. We're enjoying the effing ride.
Do you know how we got there?
Where?
To where we're at.
Blammer's
what
corn.
What do you think?
Being the reason you got ill.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, the thing you're going to learn about me over the course of the next 2 hours is Josh is going to be our memory. My short-term memory, kaput, gone.
Yeah, so is mine.
Great.
But do you see how I hold a grudge? Lance said that to me when I was doing a show with Craig.
Oh, so years
this
and
is
years
like
years
8-9 years ago when it stuck with me.
Okay. Probably longer.
Just like, no, hold on. Alex told me the day he was born, and I was reciting my stats.
And he got them right. Yeah. Day I was born, December 7th, 1998.
We'll talk about
that about 7:45 this morning. Craig Karmazin, who you just referenced, is going to join us at 7:30. Coming up next, we're going to talk all things green and gold with Jason Wilde as the Packers prepare for preseason game number two coming up on Sunday against the Denver Broncos. The joint practice, one of two. They have one next week against the Ravens, one today against the Broncos. That coming up later this afternoon. So we will check in with Jason Wilde from Green Bay. Coming up next, I'm Alex Strofe. In here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with Chewy with Joshy DiMaggio. We're strapped in. We're enjoying the effing ride, and the ride continues with Jason Wilde coming up next.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Friday morning, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with you here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. I'm Alex Strofe in alongside the brilliant mind, I think, is what we're going to go with for the time being. Mark Chamorro, Chewy, Joshy DiMaggio with us as well. Excited to talk all things green and gold with the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. You hear him immediately after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday alongside the Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher. It is our friend Jason Wilde joining us now here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
I'm great, and great to be on with the beautiful mind.
The beautiful mind, indeed. This dude is blowing my mind. Jason, the stuff he's just coming up with, the noises he's making, the what would you say that is, Chew? About a 72-ounce water bottle filled with Mio. As we talk about seasoned salt, that can't be healthy. That sheer amount of Mio you are drinking this morning.
It's 101 fluid ounces. But Jason, we're talking about corn, and I remember like 15 years ago, Lance Romance. You know Lance, right?
I am familiar with Lance's work, yes. I didn't know he grew corn.
He was a dairy farmer. His family was. And they, you know, I grew up on the farm in Massachusetts, and he came at me so hard one time, wouldn't budge, when I knew it was a topic that's like, well, I could see that. There was none of that.
Yeah, we are siphoning through a 15-year-old gripe right now, Jason. So welcome to the party.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's hard to let go of things. Although I'm assuming for like the last 14 years, Chewy had forgotten about it, and now something
spiked my memory.
His memory, and now he's taking issue with it again.
Okay. Are you a grudge holder, Jason?
Terribly. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, let me answer on his behalf. Yes.
Really?
Oh God, you two are probably the worst.
Really?
I'm terrible. I have lots of personality flaws, but that is pretty high on the list. Those who do me wrong, minor things I'm still irritated by, but if it's a pretty egregious example of being disloyal or whatever it might be, yeah, you're dead to me. There's no coming back.
All right, so this is probably a good time to ask you about Dan Orlovsky's ranking of the NFC North pass catchers,
yeah,
right, then?
Perfect time. Perfect time, yeah.
Packers listed number one.
What you really should ask me about are his rankings for quarterbacks, where he spent the entire offseason talking about how star-spangled awesome Jordan Love is, and then he didn't even have him on some of the top 10 skill set lists, and the ones that he did have him on, he had Brock Purdy in front of him on each one, and he was like fifth or sixth, but be that as it may.
But that's because he big-timed you, right?
Yeah.
I don't like that either.
Look, I let me be very clear. He does a really good job, right? I think he trades in a little bit more hyperbole than I would like, but he does a fantastic job. He has become a star at ESPN. But my issue with him was that we were having him on our show when he was posting his analysis to like Twitter and YouTube. And then once he hit the big time, like, we could never get him on. And I don't know how Tausch has started getting him on now when I'm not on. That's another discussion for another day. But, like, I've told him now, just have him on when I'm not here. Because the one thing, one of the many things that I do think are important are
remembering where you came from and remembering the people who were supportive of you before you were a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that he kind of violated that in my mind. So again, I'm glad he comes on when I'm out. I don't take many days off, so that means he doesn't get to come on very often. But that's one of those kind of egregious examples of, hey man, you were on YouTube and we were happy to have you and give you a platform.
Yeah.
And now that you're big time, you kind of forgot who we were.
You know who's got a little bit of that now, Jason? Evan Cohen.
No, tell me.
Evan Cohen. Total big time.
I have not sensed that at all, and I also enjoy my employment, so I have no comment on that.
All right. Wait, what do you want out of him, Chewy? He's on the same time as you. Do you want him to come on the show while he's on his other show?
He was our content coach for the last 5 years, and now he doesn't even show up for him? I think that falls under big time. You could tell him, too. I don't care. I'll fight with him on the air. Jason, two-part question here. Tons of love for Grant DuBose, and is Samori Torre still on the team?
First of all, Samori is still on the team, and he's had some plays during camp. I mean, I don't – if they didn't go eight deep with guys that I think are legitimate NFL receivers, and let me be clear, I'm not saying they're all like number ones or number twos or even number threes, but like – you know, I love your old teammate Terry Mickens,
mm-hmm.
right? Great guy.
Yeah.
But he was on the team for special teams, and if he was playing wide receiver, you guys were probably in a difficult spot in terms of personnel, right? With injuries or whatever else. So they've got guys that are more than just Terry Mickens types. Even Malik Heath, who I think is a Terry Mickens type to some degree, you know, has real value in the offense in terms of blocking, and he's a better receiver. You know, he was a pretty good player in college. He's a better receiver than he probably gets credit for too. So Samori's in kind of a tough spot where we've got the top four that are pretty clear cut, then 5 through 8, if we're being honest, through this camp, he's probably 8. But I think he'll be playing in the league, whether it's with the Packers or somebody else. The Grant DuBose thing is legit, though, man. Like, and if he continues on this trajectory, the 2023 draft will have had Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, and Grant DuBose all in it in the 2nd, 5th, and 7th rounds. And all three will be contributors. Like, I am, you know, like I was just kind of giving Orlovsky a hard time for, I do not do a whole lot of hyperbole. And he has had an outstanding camp. He was really good against Cleveland. They love how he blocks, which is obviously a key component of this offense. But no one really knew anything about him last year. Like, I remember standing in the locker room after the draft with Wes Hodquist from Packers.com, and we talked to DuBose for probably 15 minutes, which, as you know, having endured some of my interviews, that's really long for a locker room interview.
Mm-hmm.
Because his life story is pretty incredible, and his football journey, where he started out at a Division II school, they shut down for COVID. So the kid was working three jobs. Like, he was the guy at Walmart who brought the groceries to your car when you did a curbside pickup. He was doing DoorDash. He was moving cars around a Hyundai dealership lot just to try, because he didn't have any scholarship money, so he's trying to make ends meet. He's got a buddy that he went to high school with that's playing football at Charlotte, which I didn't even realize UNC Charlotte, A, had a football team, and B, had dropped the UNC and just called it Charlotte. Goes there, manages to be a 7th-round pick, and the kid's got talent, but he had a back injury, spent all of last year on the practice squad, and he is a great example of a guy that, you know, the work in the darkness comes out in the light, because he has been legit, and that is not just some sort of he is a good story, don't get me wrong, but he has played well, and they are excited about him.
Jason Wilde with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on this Friday morning. Jason, I jokingly brought up the Dan Orlovsky list of the pass catcher rankings in the NFC North, but I think it's interesting that a guy like Orlovsky ranks the Packers first in the NFC North in a division that is filled with talented pass catchers. given their depth, like that is their superpower, as we have discussed many times this offseason. Is that fair, though? Is it fair just because of the depth? And you mentioned Dubose and the way he's come on, and Bo Melton obviously having a rough first preseason game, but we saw some flashes out of him last year. Could this be one of the best pass-catching units in the entire NFL this year?
It could be. I guess this is the whole problem, and, you know, every time I hear this, I want to vomit, of course.
Yeah.
But the whole problem is the idea of the number one receiver, right? Like, you know, Jordan Addison was carted off the other day. It looks like he's actually okay. He didn't suffer a catastrophic injury in Minnesota. And obviously they have all kinds of problems now.
Right.
But if you have Jordan Addison, who was pretty darn good last year, and arguably the best wide receiver in football, and certainly the highest paid one now, in Justin Jefferson as your one and your two, I personally don't know exactly how you can rank what the Packers have as being better, because the problem with this depth, which is great, there's no doubt about it, is they're not going to go five wides all the time. So it's not like all these guys are on the field simultaneously. So they're going to rotate through. They may have, you know, four guys that all end up like north of 700 receiving yards. That's distinctly possible. But if you're doing a ranking like that, I personally just don't understand. You know, the quarterback obviously is a big difference. I don't think Sam Darnold is going to do as effective of a job getting the ball to Addison and Jefferson like Jordan Love would if he had them in his arsenal. But, you know, and then to put, you know, the Bears have two guys that have been number one wide receivers for their teams before, right? I mean, I know Keenan Allen is a little bit older, but and they just paid DJ Moore a ton of money. Like, I think what it says to me more than anything is that the NFC North has a hell of a lot of really good wide receivers. And we'll see at the end of the year if Dan's right.
Jason, are they going to be forced to keep three running backs on the roster because they haven't seen enough from Marshawn Lloyd? And if they put him on the practice squad, he may get gobbled up by another team?
Yeah, there's no way they're cutting him to get him to the practice squad. I mean, they absolutely cannot do that. So then the question becomes, you know, what are they going to do? Because, and this is, I think, in my opinion, I think this is why A.J. Dillon was a little bit prickly about that answer to Cody Krupp from Fox 11 about, I graded out at 98% and people on Twitter can't do what we do, so just sit back and enjoy watching. Because they are really high on Emmanuel Wilson. Like, LaFleur really, really likes him, even though he still has a lot of developing to do. So, and again, I have this problem. I'm definitely guilty of it, of thinking guys are better than they are because they're the guys that I see every day. And so, like, maybe Emmanuel Wilson, who led the league in rushing in preseason last year, maybe if he's not super productive in the next two games, they can get him through to the practice squad and no one would claim him. But I'd be leery of doing that. So now you're saying, okay, well, Josh Jacobs has a spot. Marshawn Lloyd is a third round pick has a spot. And Emmanuel Wilson has a spot. What am I doing with AJ Dillon? Because do I really want, if Josh Jacobs, you know, sprains an ankle, do I really want to be down to, Emmanuel Wilson and whoever I carry on the practice squad as the extra running back? So do you really move on from A.J. Dillon, who you know can at least play, maybe not like Walter Payton, but can play? I don't know. And the problem with that is, and you've heard it billions of times, the roster is a jigsaw puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you have to keep, let's say you have to keep four running backs, where is that roster spot going to come from if you're going to keep seven receivers?
Right.
If you want to try and keep three to four tight ends, like that then creates a numbers game that I don't know how you solve.
Jason, real quick, who's winning the number three tight end battle, Davis or Sims?
Yeah, I like from a pure tight end perspective, I think they'd probably like Sims and what he can become. Like he had two really good days of practice this week before they left for Denver. At the same time, you know, Tyler Davis has moved into the role that your guy, Josiah the Messiah DeGuara, held. And they do need a guy that can be a move guy like that. And I think those other guys are kind of learning how to be that. So, and Tyler Davis is in that group of him, Eric Wilson, Christian Welch, Robert Rochelle, that are all like crucial special teams pieces. So, you know, I hate that phrase, good problem to have, but I don't think that they're going to have a problem, unlike some years, where you keep guys that probably don't really deserve roster spots. I think they're going to have a problem of they have more players they'd like to have on their team than they can fit. And how many guys, if they're able to get all the guys through to the practice squad, LaFleur said they view it as a 69-man roster now with the game day elevations and everything else. So maybe that's the way they kind of wiggle through this. But there are some guys that it might be a challenge to get them there.
Jason, we appreciate the time, buddy. Enjoy preseason game number two, and we'll be listening to you 9 to noon with Tausche.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, host of Wilde and Tausche, weekdays 9 to noon here on ESPN Wisconsin. You feel good about your third tight end there, too? Crucial information there.
No, it is. It's just I didn't realize that Davis was going to pick up where DeGuara left off, but you see the problem here. You keep three backs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't take a plethora of players at every position. It's a dance.
They'll keep three. No fullback anymore.
No fullback, but do you keep four tight ends?
No, keep three.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's going to be interesting. You know what? It's a good, like Jason said, it's a good problem to have, but there is going to be a dance the closer we get to cut time.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And we'll see. I think Sunday is going to be big for those fringe guys because no starters on Sunday against the Broncos. So yeah, we'll see. All right, we relive the 15-year-old grudge. What do you call him? Lance
Romance.
Lance Romance. Okay. Yeah. We're gonna relive that 15-year-old beef with Lance Romance as Craig Karma's and host of Sunday Karma joins us. Coming up next, it's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right here on ESPN Milwaukee.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
It is Friday. That means the founder and CEO of Good Karma Brands and the host of Sunday Karma joins us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. That is Mark Chamorro. Chewy, I'm Alex Stroh in with him on this Friday. Craig, I don't know what Lance Romance did to Chewy in 15 years ago, talking about oak trees and cornfields, but Chewy's really ticked off this morning about something that happened a decade and a half ago. So you got to calm your guy down.
You remember that, Craig?
I'm actually worried about you losing your CTE lawsuits now. Like, I mean, your memory being this good is going to work against you in the court of law.
Well, it's the long term, not the short term, but I wouldn't call it a grudge, which was kind of surprising for Lance because he's kind of a nervous Nelly. So what's a click below bullying?
Intimidating?
Yes. So I tried to intimidate him, and he wasn't having anything to do with it, which was kind of odd.
And so you're mad at him for not allowing you to intimidate him?
Partly, and I'm mad at him for being wrong and not admitting that he's wrong, because we just had an expert witness on the stand that said, yes, absolutely.
An expert witness?
The guy out in Burlington.
Yeah, Dusty. I mean, yeah,
Dusty.
Yeah, Dusty. If you own a farm, you're an expert witness.
He never said he owned a farm.
He said he was buying a farm.
Oh, he did?
Yes, yeah. From his father.
Yes. And he wanted to cut down a tree, and his dad said, no, that's for shade when we need a nap or when we eat. So that's a win. He can come back with whatever witness he wants, but I don't really care.
I'm glad you settled the case.
All I want is for Lance to give me an apology and for him to be fired.
That's it?
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, Lance is an important part of the ESPN Milwaukee team.
Yes.
I mean, if you put Scalzo on the lie detector and was like, all right, you want, you know, you keeping me or Lance? I mean, I don't know if that's to put it on the poll, but I don't know who. I mean, I think Scalzo's taking Lance Davis over you, Chewy.
So I'm A.J. Dillon or am I Emmanuel Wilson?
Well, are you grading at a 98%? That's the important question.
I thought I was.
No, this isn't the kicker competition. You guys are both way higher than that right now.
Okay.
So, but I'm just saying it'd be tough. It would have almost been like if you could have kept Aaron Jones and had Jacobs.
Ooh. Cost you a little bit in the bank, but it's a pretty good combo.
Exactly. That's where we're living here, too.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's our deal here. You know, it does cost you a little more in the bank, and that's why you need to bring in Strophy as a third-round draft pick, you know, a little younger, maybe a little lighter on the wallet, you know, to come in, and he may end up being the best of all of you.
It's true. He's a young buck.
I'll take the Marshawn.
I don't think he plays hurt, though. I mean, I'll play hurt. Like, I've been sick for the last week missed a day. You know, I can't say the same for my other colleagues. I think Strophy's probably sitting down with a hangnail.
Chewy.
And it's not his fault. It's not his fault. It's his generation's fault. And probably somewhat the parents.
Don't roll me in with them.
I would say the same thing about my kids. They're soft. Right?
Yeah. All right.
Craig, do you think I'm soft?
Are you going to take that?
No.
Strophy, are you going to take that?
I'm here. This is unbelievable.
Well, you know what?
Hanging out with a hangnail.
Well, you know what? Hopefully part of your gang in the afternoon is listening, and they can discuss it later on.
The issue is...
Who's the softest on the show?
I don't know. We could ask Craig about Ben Brust's PTO thing, but he's got like 87 days off this summer. I'm here every damn day, Chew. Go at him if you're going to go at somebody. Guess who's off again today to go golf?
Ben should wear a kilt, number one. I'm not saying a dress, but a kilt. When you're in an ambulance for two stitches in your finger? Yes. He's soft.
I believe it was his arm.
So you, what?
I believe it was his arm.
I think he actually got it in the wrist.
Are you going in an ambulance for two stitches?
No.
Thank you. Craig, the bear scare you?
I'm not scared by the Bears. I want the Bears to be good. Like, I'm a Bears fan.
Well,
I'm rooting for
why.
The Bears. I want the Bears to have a better year than the Packers this year.
Wow.
Like, that is where I am.
See, now we know where his loyalties lie.
Yeah.
Because ESPN Chicago, he's telling me he makes more money than ESPN Milwaukee.
No, it has nothing to do with ESPN Milwaukee making money. It has to do with the fact that we have a partnership with the Bears and we don't have one with the Packers. So it's just simple business that our teammates' lifestyles are more affected by the Bears winning or losing than the Packers winning or losing, especially because it's been so long since the Bears, you know, have had a season. So if the Bears have a season, it impacts the lifestyle of our teammates more than it does based on what the Packers season
would
does.
You laugh?
That is my sole way I decide who I root for.
Would you laugh if the Packers put up a big fence, a 15-foot fence around the Tundra Trio? I would laugh so hard because of what he just said.
You're saying, like, no, it'd be like the Green Monster. They would put there'd be no view from our houses of Lambeau Field.
Yes.
Because they put up, like, a Green Monster, like, right next to the Tundra Trio.
Well, that's what I'm rooting for.
We sure they haven't considered it yet?
Yeah, we've heard many things from them about the houses.
No, but, Craig, seriously, the Bears
like
scare you.
Against the Packers, but, like, if anyone's business, like, I think, pretty much anyone would say what I'm saying. Now, maybe some people wouldn't admit it, but I'm generally an honest, transparent person. But, I mean, it is way more beneficial for our business. And how could I not, you know, we have over 500 teammates in the company. How can I not, you know, have, like, wouldn't it be selfish if, like, oh, I've lived here so long, so I'm going to root for the Packers. Like, I don't root for the Yankees. I root for the Brewers over the Yankees. Like, when the Yankees play the Brewers, I root for the Brewers.
Okay.
So three playoff teams in the NFC North then this year, Craig? That's what I'm hearing?
I mean, it's a good division. I mean,
Is it, though?
I don't see Yes. I mean, even if the Vikings are bad, like, I don't think it's as good as the AFC North. I still think the AFC North is better. But I definitely see three. I mean, the reason I'm hesitating is not because the Packers or the Lions.
Yeah.
The reason I'm hesitating is because of the Bears. Because, you know, as much as I'm excited about them and as much as I see how good they were last year, you know, and I've said a number of times, the Packers and the Bears had the same record in games when they did not play against each other. They were both 7-8 last year. And it's amazing how different each of their seasons feel, where it's like, oh, yeah, the Bears are the number one pick and the Packers should have been in the Super Bowl.
But I think
outside of the two games they played against each other, they actually had the same record.
But isn't it fair to say that the Bears are a dysfunctional organization and that ultimately gives you pause?
Yes.
I don't know. Is it that they're a dysfunctional organization or they haven't had a good quarterback? Like, that's the thing I'm not sure about.
But two things can be true, Craig. And you know that. Two things can be true.
But by the way, last year, I feel like the Bears had, like, defensive coordinators, like, having personal issues. Like, I felt like there was massive dysfunction. Justin Fields stuff was dysfunctional. So I think it's totally fair to say that last year felt so dysfunctional. But I think it felt like the Packers have been dysfunctional with all the Favre and Rodgers and all that. But when you have a great Hall of Fame quarterback, you win. Like,
yeah, correct.
The holdout with Jordan Love was, like, I don't know that it's functional, but when you have an amazing quarterback, you win.
Yeah, but the this time of year, everyone's getting love. All these rookie quarterbacks are getting love. Jaden Daniels in Washington. Come on. What's Washington going to do this year? Not going to do anything. And then J.J. McCarthy up there has a nice preseason game, and they think they're going to be relevant in the North.
Well, you're aware he's out for the season.
No, I know he's out for the season, but I'm just saying all these guys are getting love right now. Who's the kid in New England? He's getting
Drake May. Yeah, he had a nice game last night. And Bo Nix in Denver,
right? Think about it this way. Last year, they won 7 games, the Bears.
Yes.
Their quarterback wasn't even Justin Fields for all the games, right? They had a rookie backup quarterback for 4 of the games who's arm wrestling and stuff. So that was last year. Then the second half of the year, they added to the defense and had the best defense in the league, who the Packers tore up, let's remember, in that last game. And they got, you know, the Packers dominated that game and got tons of pressure on Justin Fields. But then they add Keenan Allen to that. And you would think, even if it's a rookie quarterback, there's got to be some improvement. So that's why when I think they won 7 games last year, it's like, all right, that feels to me like 9 wins this year, but I don't know if that's playoffs. So that's why I think the Lions and Packers are clearly playoff teams, and I think the Bears are fringe playoffs because it still is a rookie quarterback, to your point.
Yeah.
Like, everyone can't be, you know, last year, I mean, we saw a rookie quarterback have a season like we've never seen before. So, like, that can't be the new, like, expectation.
No. The other thing to your question, Chu, like, the Bears don't scare me as a Packers fan, but I can't think of a number one overall pick ever stepping into a better situation offensively than Caleb Williams is stepping into in Chicago. So I think the ownership continues for the Packers, but the Bears could be good. Go ahead, Craig.
Alex, analytically, not only has a number one pick never had this good a spot, a first-round pick quarterback has never had this many offensive weapons when they went through the analytics of it between the wide receiver, tight end, running back. This is the best situation a first-round quarterback has gone into in, like, over a decade.
Yeah, they're still going to find a way to screw it up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm looking in the rearview mirror, but I'm not really worried. And let's remember, Jay Cutler was one of the top quarterbacks in the league at the time they traded for him, right? And what'd they do? They did nothing. They went to the NFC Championship game.
And lost.
Yeah. So I'm eyeballing them, but I'm really not.
Go ahead on Detroit, Craig.
Yeah, what about Detroit? I mean, you have to give Detroit a slight edge over the Packers, right? Or do you just feel like Jordan Love makes such a jump from year 1 of starting to year 2 that it actually puts them ahead of Detroit.
Yeah, look, I think that the nice part about Jordan Love is he's going to have the full offense, right? The playbook's going to be open from week one rather than week 9 or 10 like it was last year. So I think you're going to see MVP like Love all year. But I think there's a few teams that won playoff games last year that you can look at and say they got better this offseason. Detroit and Green Bay are both in that category, I think. So I think it's a two-horse race in the NFC North.
It is, but where I think Detroit is a little bit ahead of Green Bay is that their defense is settled.
Yeah.
We don't know.
It's unproven for Green Bay, right?
Putting in a new system, we don't know how. And there's still questions of, like, handful of players is, was this, who's the Joe Barry Carroll? Was it Joe Barry Carroll or the players? Am I right?
Yeah, but I mean
come on, Quay Walker. Didn't we think Quay Walker was going to be? This is a big year for him,
for sure.
Devontae Wyatt.
The defense is going to be so much better in the regular season. There's no chance it's not. I mean, think about last year. Like Bryce Young had a game against the Packers, and he couldn't play against anybody in the NFL last year, and he was thrown for 300 yards. Like that run they went on. When I know Baker Mayfield had a pretty good year and was like a top 12-ish quarterback in the league. But Baker Mayfield, like these guys were all putting up perfect quarterback ratings against the Packers. There's no doubt their regular season defense is going to be significantly better. And there's no doubt, to Alex's point, that Jordan Love is going to be significantly better than he was in the first half of the year. So I think the Packers make such a jump this year that I don't think they could jump to where the 49ers are. But you saw they almost beat them last year. Right, so it's not like they're like it's impossible that the Packers go all the way. I mean, To me, it seems four team race ish. I feel like it's San Francisco, it's Lions, it's Packers, and then the Rams are just going to be there.
What about
everyone forgetting him? Everyone forgetting about Matt Stafford and all that. I was all in on the Eagles the whole year last year, and I need to just see that their defense is...
You're crazy. I'm just going to say this, and I've done this before, and you poo-pooed it until it happens. Do not sleep on Atlanta.
I'll poo-poo that.
Really?
Don't sleep on Atlanta. Just telling you. Easy division, probably
first
easy schedule.
Head coach,
just get
Judon. Achilles.
That offense is pretty darn good.
Yeah, you could sleep on them until the playoffs. Then they'll underperform like Kirk always does.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I'm
mean
just
the
saying.
Opposite. So yes, don't sorry. Sleep on them and then
I mean they're not winning not winning the Super Bowl, but they're going to be a thorn in people's side.
Chalk them up for a first round loss.
They won't even get that far.
You guys are
That's
crazy.
Baker's division. I'm a Baker guy.
Mark the tape.
I'll take Philly over Atlanta if you're taking those two teams. I'll take Philly over Atlanta in the playoffs.
All right. We'll see.
But I still don't know. I mean Philly, I mean, think about how broken they were at the end of the year. Do you think without a head coaching change, how do you think they just snapped out of
hold
that?
Hold on. You're making my point for me about the defense. They bring in Halfley and all of a sudden they're going to be great, but Atlanta brings in new people and they're going to stink. Let's have a little consistency on this show.
Year one of a head coach. It's a 35-year-old quarterback off an Achilles.
You asking for consistencies, Rich.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We got to get the break.
Yeah. Hold on, real quick, Craig, before we let you go, in your earlier analogy, is Chewy Aaron Jones or Josh Jacobs?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess Chewy is Josh Jacobs. He's the new guy here. Lance has been here long before him.
And you're durable. You're playing through injury right now.
Can I ask you a question, Craig? Who's the Turk in the company? Is it HR? Is it Scowls? Is it you?
No, it's Scowls. I mean,
because we would always avoid the Turk. The closer you get to the end of training camp, you're like, I'm going to go in another way. I just want to know who to avoid.
When Scowls comes down, it means somebody's getting cut. He's not like coming to just hang out. You know, that's how it works.
Okay, good to know.
Craig Karmazin, we'll be listening to you 10 to noon on Sunday. Appreciate the time, buddy.
Yep, I won't be there the next 2 weeks, but thanks, guys.
Right, we'll be listening to you in three weeks.
No, I will be there. Actually, I will be there next week.
Speaking of consistency.
Yeah, we don't care.
Which one is it? Are you on or are you off?
Irreplaceable.
I'm irreplaceable. I will not be here this week. I will be there next week.
All right, tune in at 10 a.m. and figure out if he's there or not. All right, that's Craig Karmazin, host of Sunday Karma. I don't know what just happened. Chewy, you're ridiculous.
I know. All right. Especially on Fridays.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, more next.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks, Ernie. I'm going to Venmo you that money right after the show.
You can't. You don't know how to use Venmo.
Made my workload much less. But Ernie,
you don't know how to Ernie, do it. And I don't know
does
how to
it ever?
It, so it's,
yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
To say, put the past away.
So here at Uncover Brands, we do what's called the Strength Finders Test. My number one strength is I'm a problem solver. We're solving problems this morning.
Are you doing a good job today?
We're about to find out. It's okay. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with you on your Friday morning ahead of the Packers' second preseason game Sunday taking on the Denver Broncos. I'm Alex Stroff in for Jen and Gabe alongside Chewy, Joshy DiMaggio with me. Let's go to the phone lines, shall we? Let's solve a problem. We've been talking all morning about a 15-year-old beef. Let's solve this. Lance Romance.
Here we go.
Joins us now on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Chewy, will you please explain to Lance your issue with him 15 years later?
First of all, do you remember Lance? Because Craig didn't.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I did. And I still remember it to this day, and I had no idea what you were talking about back then.
Well, did you hear our caller, Dusty, from Burlington, whose father said...
Dusty agrees with you?
Yes. He said he's been wanting to cut that tree down for years, and his father said, no, that's where I take a nap and eat my lunch when I'm spending the day in the field.
Well,
so are you going to soften your stance at all? And your dad? Because you threw your dad in the mix, too.
I had never heard that before until you brought it up to me 15 years ago, and I haven't heard about it since.
I never knew he was stubborn.
Why would they have a tree? Come on. Farmers work hard. They're not sitting under a tree.
Because, Lance, back in the day, they didn't have air-conditioned cabs. It was all open. So when it's 90 degrees out and you're sweating your new you-know-what's up, you need a break at times. Now they can just sit in their nice air-conditioned GPS. And my buddy has a word from. He calls them tractor farmers now. Everything's done with a tractor. Where one of the worst jobs I ever had was baling hay.
Oh, that's real work there, Chewy. Real work. How long did you last? Maybe a day?
I did it one time, and I'm like, this isn't for me. See, I can admit it.
I corrected you that once at my dairy farm, and he didn't last more than an hour.
Well, when the bales weigh more than you, then yeah, that's kind of a problem. Yeah. So you're not going to soften your stance at all.
Until 3 a.m. the night before.
Lance, it's Friday. We're trying to enjoy the weekend. All the guy wants is an apology. Can you just give it to him, please? I got to deal with this guy for another hour.
I can't. I just can't do it. Wow, I've never heard it.
That's a lot.
I never heard it since. No one's ever brought it up to me.
I
lived on a farm for 20 plus years. I've never heard this. Now, yes. I do remember back in the day when we were working and we had lunch, we would eat in the field. We definitely would get some shade, but that's because the trees were there. We'd go to the closest tree. We didn't plant trees in the middle of the field for shade.
Josh, you know me. All I needed was one person because when I lost the poll a couple weeks ago and it was 98% not in my favor, I considered that a win.
Yes. Lance, what would you explain the reason the trees still exist in farm fields? Is it just because it's too much work to remove them and it's just not worth the effort? Or why is it as prevalent as Chewy seems to think?
Great question, counselor.
Wow. It is prevalent, huh? We're confirming that or we're just taking Chewy's word?
I mean prevalent and I've seen it. I wouldn't say it's definitely all the fields.
You have not seen it.
Yes, he has.
Oh, you just see a random tree. It's certainly more occasional than prevalent.
Use of the word prevalent there.
But it's not non-existent. Like all farmers don't remove trees if they're in their field.
Right. Yeah. I think do I know the answer 100%? No, I can tell you back when I grew up on a farm that, yes, they were known to be around, but not a ton. And, yeah, I think it was,
weak argument.
You care about the outside surroundings and the nature. So, yeah, I think leaving it up is
The jury is shaking their head at you right now. That was such a bad ass. I thought you were going to go with erosion because that's what I would, even though it's a lie.
I really like Lance. But he just made the next hour a hell of a lot more difficult for me. So thanks for nothing, pal.
Hey, I am stubborn. That is one thing.
No doubt about that. Lance Davis joining us here on Jen Game and
Chewy. Thanks, Lance.
You bet.
I won that. Shut up.
I didn't know what I was getting myself into. We just spent an hour talking about trees and fields. What will the next hour hold? We'll all find out together. Hour 2 of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy next on ESPN Milwaukee.